After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big ol' move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51.
We're here.
The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to a very sore episode of Hysteria 51. I'm your host, Brent Hand, and I am moving very slowly this week.
Because his dumb ass has a hernia.
Sadly, that is correct. I woke up yesterday in pain, and no joke, I have no idea how this happened. C-Bot, you care to venture a guess as to how this could have happened to me?
My lawyer has instructed me to refrain from answering these types of questions.
That's exactly how I figured to respond. Anyway, we are going to be doing things a little bit different this week since I'm moving around like a 90-year-old. I gave David the week off so he didn't have to deal with my bitching and crying and moaning and complaining because I'm in pain. But Jay from Project Skeptic stepped up and is supplying the episode this week. And have no fear. Because
fear is exactly what they need because your ass is in the episode with him talking more Bigfoot nonsense.
Number one, it's not nonsense. And number two,
I am going to stop you right there. It is 1000% nonsense because I hunted all Bigfoot to extinction in the early 1700s.
Right. Yeah, I'd forgot. Pardon me for forgetting such things. Anyway, as I was getting at, it's a fun episode from an awesome podcast that you all should check out. I have links in the show notes so you can check all things Project Skeptic and give them a subscribe, give them a follow everywhere, please, because it's an awesome show and Jay's been really great. And if you enjoy the show and you want to talk to Jay or have maybe suggestions for him, hop on the Hysteria 51 Discord. He's on there all the time. We're always chatting, talking. You can pretty much just find him there anytime. He's in there throughout the day, just like I am. So please give that a follow. You can find links to that in the show notes as well.
Or do yourself a favor and turn this off now. One of the two.
Shut up. Sorry. Anyway, no more nonsense from the bot. Without further ado, here I am joining Project Skeptic to talk to the big money monster, a Sam Squatch from my old stomping grounds of Southern Illinois. Enjoy.
Or don't.
Shut the fuck up.
I am here to discuss the so-called flying saucers.
These teenage sisters believe they're haunted by a poltergeist.
It isn't that impossible in this society. It happens.
911, what's your emergency?
Welcome in, everybody, to another midweek episode of Project Skeptic. I am Jay, as usual, your host for the midweek episodes, and a little bit something different this week. Every so often, I find somebody, you know, to come on the show and guest host on the midweeks and talk different legends and lore from maybe their state or something different like that. So all the way from the lower fourth dimension or Chicago, host of the very popular show, Hysteria 51, Mr. Brent Hand.
What is going on, sir? How goes?
Good, good. It's warm. It's warm here in central Pennsylvania today.
We are going through a heat wave. We were at 99 with 90-some percent humidity. So they're like, I was telling you before we started, I was happy to have power because we had a tornado came through here last night and it tore up everything, so everyone's still without power in some areas, which is, with that kind of heat, is terrible. But the studio where we're at, record out of, is good to go, so the stars aligned for us or something.
Yes, yeah, that's weird. Like, it was really strange this morning. It was cold and overcast, and then once it hit noon, it was 85 degrees and it was just humid and hot, and everybody wanted to go swimming or go somewhere or not be outside, just, you know, just try to keep up on the AC. And
yeah, we actually had our AC fixed yesterday, thank God, just in time. We'd been having issues, and the guy came and fixed it, and I would have been crying in my basement or something all day today, because I work from home, and it makes for miserable. It's been not keeping up very well for the last few days. So those are first world problems. I can't really complain that much, but you know.
Yeah, that's rough. Even like, because like the weather that you get obviously comes directly to us. So the rest of the week, it's like 90s for the rest of the week. And it's,
yeah, today it was like tied our record high, and tomorrow it should break it. So that's just fun, you know, or whatever you want to call it. But yeah,
yeah, that, yeah,
fun, I know fresh what hell, BS, whatever. It's all good.
So what have you been up to? I know you stay pretty busy working all the show and everything.
So I do our show, and I run a studio here out of just outside of Chicago, Fourth Hand podcast studio. Been doing that. We did a lot of travel. I actually just got back from Mexico. We were down there for a week for a wedding, and just been trying to get the world to feel back to normal. We kind of had the whole world had a couple years of ugh, and not traveling and doing this and that and the other. This sounds bad. It was good for the podcast and it was good for the studio. I got a lot of work out of it, you know, people were listening to more audio and stuff like that, but not so much good for the spirit. My wife is I don't know if you want to call her a world traveler, but she fancies, you know, vacations constantly. So she's like, you know, chomping at the bit and shaking like a drug addict to go someplace. So we're like, all right, so we'll try to do some stuff. So been trying to do that, but otherwise it's been business as usual.
Yeah, that's what We were looking at going to Mexico or the Dominican at the end of the summer, maybe in the fall, something like that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just even though you get out, you still have that kind of cabin fever. Like you got to go somewhere and do something different, I guess.
Yeah, you know, get out, start a cult, you know, do something fun. Yes, do something with your life. You know, marry six or seven brides, really live it up. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, really deliver yourself some hand grenades and stuff in the mail. And
the Waco Times. Anyway, yeah. How
about that? Anyways, but we do have a topic tonight. And like I said on the intro here, when I had you on, so I figured I would pick a legend or lore from your state instead of the normal Pennsylvania legends that I do on my midweeks. So we got a topic tonight, the Big Muddy Monster.
Yeah, not only is this from my state, so I'm from Central Illinois. I live now in Northern Illinois. This is from Southern Illinois, but I went to college down there and I lived down there for 5 years. So I lived literally in the same county as the Big Muddy Monster stomping grounds, so to speak. A little bit 20 years later, 20 plus years later, but yeah, same area.
And yeah, it's just,
No, I was just going to say, even at that time, you read and they always go, oh, it was, you know, a time that the city, they didn't like, they lean into this like crazy. The Big Muddy River, which we were going to get into, is there. So it's named after that. But they lean into this Big Muddy Monster every time they need a scapegoat or something fun to name a festival or something after.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what, so the southern part of Illinois, Jackson County, is that the right county?
Yeah, so it's Jackson, Williamson, they're both right there. Jackson County is the one that this was in, but they kind of overlap, so yeah. Illinois is big. People forget that. It's long.
Yeah.
You know, this is like 7 hours drive time south of where I'm at right now, and then there's even, you know, after that, so Illinois is kind of a long state that way.
That's what we're kind of broad, so I'm in the middle, so it's like 4 hours to Philadelphia from me.
Yeah,
It's not even close. I mean, I don't frequent there.
you know, go get cheesesteaks on a whim.
No. So this whole story kind of revolves. I mean, there's some other sightings, but the whole story kind of revolves around two solid dates back to back in 1973.
As I've done these over the years, you're going to find some of the biggest monster stories or cryptid stories in the world that just won't go away had like one sighting or two sightings, you know, and I'm not ever saying that this one is one of the big ones, but it is, it really falls in line with the lack of repetition with a lot of them, I guess.
Yeah. I guess look at Flatwoods.
Yeah.
I mean, that was one day.
Yeah.
One incident.
Either an alien, a robot, or a really angry owl. One or the other had a bad evening.
Yeah, but it's a whole, the whole thing's wrapped around, like even there's a museum and everything wrapped around that for.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a friend of a show. They went there and they got us posters and little like figurines. We got a whole bunch of Flatwood Monster stuff. So
nice.
I love that.
So June 25th and June 26th of 1973, reports of a large white creature covered in mud began to funnel in to the local police station. Tall white-haired creature covered in some sort of mud spotted in the woods outside of town around the Big Muddy River.
So it's not just a fancy name. There you go.
Yeah. So the first report came in just after or just before midnight on the 25th. A couple had been parking near a boat dock on the southwestern edge of Riverside Park next to the woods.
That means they were banging in the back of a car. For those of you keeping track at home, filling out your bingo card.
Don't a lot of stories start like that, though? If you feel like that, or it's always something.
There we were. Studying.
Yeah. Star watching.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So, and this is what gets me about this story, too, is this article says the two who were not married said they were in the car when they heard a loud screaming sound in the woods, wooded area, and observed a large creature approximately 7 feet tall. The creature appeared to have light-colored hair matted with mud. The creature appeared to walk on two legs and proceeding towards their car.
Yeah, that is something you never want to see when you're trying to get laid in the back of a, I don't know what the hell they were in, but yeah, like, oh my God, it's coming right for us type stuff. It's never a good thing to yell when you're trying to get the boom boom on with some lady.
Yeah. I always like the fact that they're like, it was approximately 7 feet tall. I can't tell if you're 7 foot tall. I mean, I'm 6'2". And I might be able to tell somebody else that's like 6 foot around me.
I'm 6'2 as well. And yeah, I'm pretty good at telling when someone's like around me. My roommate for years was 6'9". So he's kind of a tall guy. And, you know, you'd see people taller than him. I would always know when someone was taller than him because I'd be like, Oh, God dang, you know, like, man. But it is, I don't know. I guess I could throw that out. That guy was like 7 foot tall or that thing. But it is hard, especially in the spur of the moment, to be like, you know, make claims of height. You know, but people do it all the time when they're robbed or whatever. So I guess I don't want to split too many hairs on that.
Not everybody has a 7-Eleven door with them that tells them the height.
Thank God they were parked in the woods right next to the entryway to a 7-Eleven. So they just read the sign on the side of the doorway.
So they reported it to the local police, even though they're under scrutiny that they would be, you know, busted for like parking in the 70s. I'd imagine they're probably teenagers, late teens, something like that.
That's always funny to me is people always use that as in stories. Well, you know, it's true because they were parking and they came forward anyway. Like that was some big deal or something. I don't know. Maybe it was different time. Yeah. I don't know.
So the police actually took this pretty, I guess, pretty seriously. If they actually searched the area with flashlights and spotted some tracks even in the mud that were 3 to 4 inches deep, 10 to 12 inches long, and 3 inches wide, which the 3 inches wide doesn't seem like a very wide footprint.
I was thinking about that. I looked it up. So I wear a size 14, 15, depending on the shoe. I looked up size 14 because it had it listed. A size 14 US is 12 3/16 inches long.
Okay.
That is longer than these tracks were. That's not that big of a foot, really, in the grand scheme of things. Though then again, you know, 7 feet tall is right in line with most of the Bigfoot stuff. But that's not a huge foot. And 3 inches wide is tiny, but it's in mud. You don't know what kind of depression it got. But I was just kind of, when I heard that, I'm like, well, how long is a, you know, my foot, you know? And so I looked it up and, you know, it's over a foot long. So that's interesting.
It's easier to look it up than to like get a tape measure.
Am I going to bend over and measure it? Nah, Google will do this for me. my wife walks in. What are you doing? Nothing. Get out. Nothing.
It's longer if I measure it.
Yeah. By God, that's 4.5 feet.
So the following day came and another call from, I read this story two different ways. It was two teenagers or a woman. So I put it both in here, whether the two.
Yeah, were was the woman. The I read it too. Some said the woman called because her 5-year-old saw it. Some said it was like two teenagers saw it. Or a teen and a five. Yeah, it was depending on where you read the story. So this is just like every fucking story in the world out there about these things. Depends on who's reporting it kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. You see it all the time, too. I mean, it's no different from any other story. So they say, whoever you take this story as, says that they saw a tall, white-haired, hairy creature out in a field at the edge of the woods. Mm-hmm. So that's, I mean, somebody, they're, I would say it's a Bigfoot or whatever it is stalking the side of the woods. You'd probably be able to tell what it was. I mean, depending on the time of the day, I guess. Officers responded, and a neighbor said that her son told her about the creature he had seen in the field only moments before. So that, I mean, like I said, there's a little bit of muddling in the middle of that story, who saw it and. So Jerry Nellis, a police officer with the Carbondale Police Department, brought out a canine unit to search the area, which, I mean, that's a pretty solid thing to do if you're looking for a person or
And shout out to Carbondale, Illinois. That was my old stomping ground, SIU, Southern Illinois University.
Nice.
home of the Seleukis.
Really?
Yep.
I've never heard that.
The Seleukis were Egyptian hunting dogs. They look like greyhounds, but they have furry ears. But they look otherwise just like a greyhound kind of thing.
That's really cool. I've never heard of that before.
They think they're faster than a greyhound, but they won't chase inanimate like a rabbit, like, you know, the thing, so they don't race them. But they can hunt down in the wild. They hunt down like, impalas or whatever it was. So holy that's shit. Faster than a greyhound. So it's probably the fastest dog with an asterisk next to it because it won't run for sport.
come on, run.
No. Yeah. No, I'm good. Well, yeah, I gotta respect a dog that's lazy.
Yeah, for sure. So the dog tracked descent to bar or out barn or outbuilding, but refused to go into the building. Other officers went to, or so the thing with the with he just tracked whatever that they had seen to mm-hmm. this barn or outbuilding or whatever you want to call it, and Nellis was the officer, the canine officer, and the trainer, and he said later in his like report, he said in his full opinion, it was just a bear.
Yeah, and black bear would have roamed through that area. They also got, you know, back, they could get cougars and stuff through there. So it's not. So the thing about people think of Illinois as this flat state, which it is.
Yeah,
with all. You know, corn and soybeans, but Southern Illinois is incredibly hilly and lots of rock and valleys and waterfalls, and Shawnee National Forest is there. It is
cool.
It's a mecca among Illinois. It's a beautiful, gorgeous area that doesn't feel like the rest of the state, and there is a lot of wilderness. So if I was, it's not a far-fetched, I've heard other people talk about this and be like, why would there be a bear? Well, that's the exact area where you'd expect to find something like that.
Yeah, see, we have all kinds of stuff up here, too. We're in the center of the state. We've got mm-hmm. forest and stuff all around us. And I've seen bears stand up on hind legs and stare at me mm-hmm. while I was in the woods. And it's terrifying because they're way taller than me on their hind legs. And I've seen them close as, like, 20 yards.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, it wasn't a fun day. But we were on a side by side, the four wheeler, one time, mm-hmm. and we came down across one, and it just stood up and stared at us, and we just kept on going. But yeah, we run into that stuff all the time.
I've never seen them. That's awesome. It's awesome, as long as from a distance. Yeah,
it's not as awesome as you might
think. Right.
So the other officers that respond went down the path first identified by the teenage callers. There, the officers found some kind of slimy substance or film or whatever mm-hmm. on the trees. So, mm-hmm. is this mud from this muddy monster? Is it just
that's kind of how I took it? Like it had walked by and maybe like gotten it on it, you know? You know, whether it's a Bigfoot or a bear doesn't really change that fact of what that could be. They didn't exactly do DNA analysis or anything like that, so we're not going to know other than they said, oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Taste it. Yeah.
Nellis, tongue this for me.
Lauren Coleman, a cryptozoologist who had studied the big muddy monster story, stated it is within the context of other Bigfoot sightings.
So Mr. Lauren Coleman, he's kind of I've talked about him before. He's kind of came up in a lot of stuff. I want to throw a couple barbs at him if I can, not to be a poo-pooer, but he asserts that, or he said many times, that cryptozoology is scientific and skeptically minded, and a lot of people say that he is the exact opposite of that. There's a science writer, Sharon Hill, and she's said that Coleman's got this website, it's called Cryptomundo, and she says that the members show blatant disdain for scientists and investigators critical of their claims. So anytime someone comes in and wants to do like a scientific research or the method, they kind of just throw them under the bus kind of thing. And he's also been called gullible by peers and scientists, like other researchers and scientists. And he's even used Hollywood movies for examples of believability. Like, well, that's how that would act. Like, no, you're talking about the creature from the Black Lagoon was like one of the things. So Coleman is dubious to say the least, but he gets quoted in a lot of these things because he speaks about a lot of these things.
Yeah, it's kind of like no press is bad press or whatever type of thing. As long as somebody's saying your name, you're good.
Not trying to be Debbie Downer, but, grain of salt, that guy.
But yeah, it's the same way with them whenever they get, like, when they find hair and stuff like that from, like, any Bigfoot sighting or anything like that. And they're like, can we test this? And they're like, I just kind of want to keep it in this jar right here.
Yeah, you know what? This is the missing link, but I'm not going to let you do that.
Yeah.
We're going to keep this right here, but I'll charge you money and you can be in the same room as it.
Yeah, you could take a picture with it for $25.99.
For a nominal fee. That's my favorite term. For a nominal fee, you can insert whatever dumbness that I'm coming up with that week. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you see that with it goes on. And that kind of drives me nuts, too. Whenever I'm trying to look into something, I'm like, why don't they just do it? Or
Right. I don't begrudge someone, or I don't look down upon someone for let's say you had an experience and you write a book or something like that. You sell your story. You know what? If you can tell your story, tell your truth and also make a buck, good for you. Exploiting people or exploiting it or lying to make money is where I draw the line. But sometimes it's hard to figure out which is which.
Yeah. We've talked about that before, too, with some of like the UFO experiencers. You know, there's some of those stories that are so believable and you're like, yeah, but then there's people that have the stories and they're just like out there like, oh, you can buy my whatever for this. And
or the Bob Lazars that are, I don't make any money. That's $20 if you want that over there. I don't make any money off. Yeah, I'll sign that for $16. I don't make any money off of this, I promise.
Yeah. Well, that's so. You can do what you can do, and if you had an experience like that, that's awesome. And I believe a lot of people that say they do, but that point, at some of those points, I'm just like, I'm done with it. I can't.
Right. Yeah. You know, but you know, it's also hard to look at someone and go, you're a liar. But it's also hard to look at someone and say, oh, you're telling the truth. So that's human nature. What are you gonna do?
Yeah. So there is another sighting, I guess, of this muddy monster, big muddy monster, about a week or two later at the local carnival.
That's just a carny.
That's the first thing I thought.
Let me guess. Had tiny hands, smelled like cabbage.
Kept tamming up the jars so you couldn't get the ping pong balls in them.
The damnedest thing. What is this, slime? It's a film over everything.
Solved.
Yeah.
It's solved. So the creature was messing with the livestock at the carnival. And the ponies were trying to get free from their tack and run when the creature was around, which I guess a bear would probably be the same.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do the same.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I don't know. Then again, carnivals or stuff like that could attract bears with the food, and because they're big sweets, like donuts. They love donuts and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So they're always into the sweets. And so carnival workers gave the description of the creature 7 to 9 feet tall. Now, this is the other one. 300 to 400 pounds, standing upright with brown, light brown hair this time. So
sounds much more like a bear.
Yeah.
To me, you know, but they were saying they saw it much closer. The interesting thing about this is if you guys do any looking, you can find. So the entire police record is online. You can download it, and they've scanned everything. And so the forms, which are there's not a ton of them, but they did drawings and pictures, and it's just like a guy, like an outline of a man standing. It's like, that's what it looked like. And then one of them is a straight up like monster Bigfoot that like someone like had drawn. It's like 67 pages they've gone over, and a lot of it's letters of that they've collected over time. Interestingly, so when the guy who had investigated this for the I don't remember if it was Murfreesboro Police or if it was the Jackson County that had it. There was only, in the whole time he was there, it had been like at the time when he retired, it was like 32 years later, so in the early 2000s, there was only two unsolved cases on the books, and this was one of them. So like he would like,
awesome.
So he had like kept it open to like see what they could do or try to figure it out, because he had said, especially after talking to these carnies and stuff, he thought that it was someone messing around, and he thought over time someone would slip up or come forward. So they kept this open because he wanted to have a perfect record kind of thing.
I see. But the thing with this too is another, like, I am a bad guess of, like, I could never work at a carnival where people guess where I guess their weight.
Yeah.
That's another one. He's like 300 to 400 pounds.
Right.
That's still pretty, even if you're guessing within like 100 pounds.
Yeah. Right.
That's tough.
Yeah.
So a few months have passed. Then a truck driver had seen a creature that resembles the Big Muddy Monster in the southwestern town near the Mississippi River.
Yeah.
These tracks of the creature were actually plaster cast, and this was apparently the last sighting.
Yeah.
Tied to that name.
Other than, you know, murals and the Big Muddy Monster Festival and Big Muddy Beer, you know, and, well, there's the Big Muddy Brewery, and they've had different beers named after and stuff like that. The other thing about these casts, though, and if you look up the police report, there are pictures of the original impressions and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And this is an unfortunate thing. It's in mud when bears walk. And they slide, it looks like human footprints a lot of times.
Oh, yeah.
So it's another thing. And that's, I would fall for it too. And that's not to say that that's what it was. It's just hard to say one way or another when you're looking at these things what they are. And the footprints are not your normal, well, this looks like a Bigfoot footprint. They're like lopsided type looking things. So.
Yeah. Yeah, we
whatever.
We used to live in an area. Couple years back, about 10 years now, where they would capture nuisance bears and they would let them go on the road we lived on. So we lived on a So the Pennsylvania Game Commission would capture nuisance bears that would get into the towns and stuff like that around, and then we lived on a dirt road on the top of a mountain, and they would drive back our road probably, I don't know, a mile and a half back our road and open the gate and let them out. And mm-hmm. we'd see them all the time because you knew, because they tagged them.
Oh, so you knew that, yeah.
You knew it was a nuisance bear, but we had a, so I've seen tons of bears and I know what a bear looks like up close and personal. Mm-hmm. And we had a metal dumpster at our house too, with two metal lids on it that overlapped each other. We had a bear so big that lived around us, he pried those metal doors apart.
Wow.
Just so he could reach his paw down in and grab garbage bags out of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the one night he got on top of the garbage thing and it was raining, and he left a big muddy paw print on the top of the dumpster, and it was as big as a serving dish.
Would you say it was 12 and what was it, 3/16 inches?
It was giant.
And yeah, their hand prints, paw prints, man, they're just, and that's a black bear. You know, think of like, you know, brown bears or grizzly or Kodiaks, you know, you're getting into like just monsters, you know, 12 foot tall, damn near. And just, you know,
yeah.
Jesus. Anyway.
So, anyways, so I mean, this is kind of your mm-hmm. your legend, your stomping grounds. What is your thought growing up and knowing?
I mean, I really felt it at this, for such a small amount of sightings and children being a lot of it. I figure it was probably a bear coming through the area because they weren't used to that. You could have seen it standing up. Being muddy is no big surprise, especially if it's coming through an area. You know, these animals, whether it is a Bigfoot or a bear or, you know, any of these larger mammals, they travel large areas, you know, and sometimes they roam, or they might run into another mail or something, so they're trying to get out of another area, you know, they're not supposed to be in. I could totally see that. Now, I'm not going to say that there's no Bigfoots out there, but this one just, it was more of a one and done, or it was moving through the area no matter what it was. And yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if it was a bear. Plus, you know, the dog wouldn't go in there. The handler thought that he had, you know, he figured that it was a bear after, you know, seeing the things and the tracks and things like that. So, there's always the case, though, like the police officer, the police chief thought that it had been a hoax and he was waiting for someone to come forward. But no one ever did, you know, and so now we're, you know, 50 years next year of this being a thing. So, yeah, that's a long time for someone to keep their lips sealed.
This isn't too far after, like, Patterson-Gimlin either, you know, if you think, like, where the Bigfoot...
Fresh in the mind of people.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, yeah, I get the natural bear, you know, even a mangy bear. If a bear has some kind of skin problem like mange, I mean, they could be rolling around in mud or whatever trying to get stuff on their fur. That kind of, I mean, it might make some sense too, but yeah, I do tend to that, but it is a cool story. I mean,
it is very cool. I just looked real quick because I didn't know Patterson-Gimlin was 67. So yeah, we're right on the heels of that. It is a cool story and there's nothing to take away. And you know what? They've embraced it with some fun little, if you go to Murfreesboro now, they have a mural in town and one of the big things on it is a Bigfoot walking through the mural. So that's kind of fun. I like when back in the day they'd be like, ugh, and they try to distance themselves and now places are like, come here for the monsters, stay for the local blah, 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 you know, and they try to draw in anything that they can. And if you guys do want to search for it, it's a beautiful part of the country down there. It's awesome. And if you feel like you've seen Illinois, you haven't seen Illinois till you see down there. It's very cool.
Yeah. I've never been west of Bristol, Tennessee.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've been all up and down the East Coast. I've never been really west anywhere.
Wow. Not at all, huh? Not even flown out way west and skipped over the Midwest? Nowhere,
no,
huh?
No.
Wow.
I've been in Mexico, I guess, if you want to consider that west.
Right. But
like in the States, though, I've been from Maine to Florida on the East Coast, but nothing west. Yeah.
I don't know. You have experienced a very specific type of America. That's awesome, though. I've been to most of the States. No, I haven't been to Alaska, Hawaii, but I've been to most of them. You know, not for long periods of time, you know, in some of the areas, but, every part of America is different. If you're not from America, one of the things that people forget about is how big, you know, our states are the size of some countries in Europe, you know what I mean?
Oh,
and
yeah,
they are that different from one to another. Some of them.
Oh, so, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It just depends. And, you know, Southern Illinois is very south. You know, people forget about how far south it is. Oh, yeah. You know, most of Kentucky is north of Southern Illinois.
I guess so.
Yeah. And so it's, you know, it's very the Bible Belt and, you know, that kind of different. It's a y'all part, whereas the northern part is not that type, you know.
Yeah.
So people forget about that. And it's,
yeah. Yeah, and we're close to Pittsburgh, so we're yins.
Yeah,
Y-I-N-Z, yins.
Yins, yeah. Yuns, and y'all, you know.
Yeah, pretty much. So anyways, Brent, where can everybody find your show? Tell them, I'll put them in the show notes, obviously, but you tell them where they can.
Right outside of the carnival outside of town, playing with the ponies is where you're going to find me. Now, if you want to find us, it's Hysteria 51. You can find it anywhere. Just search Hysteria 51. We have a website. It's going to have links to pretty much everything. You can listen to us probably everywhere that you listen to this show. So we're everywhere. So just look up Project Skeptic and you'll find us. And if you're on Facebook, we have Hysteria Nation on there. It's a Facebook discussion page. We release two episodes a week. We do like a weird news episode on Mondays now, and then a regular episode every Wednesday. And we've been doing it for a little over 6 years now and hundreds of episodes. So there's enough of a back catalog for you to get bored and hate us in no time. So it's perfect.
I still go back and listen to some a lot of the old episodes.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot. And so I was with the same host for like 5 years. And then my co-host now is David Flora. If you're familiar with Blurry Photos, he is the host and he was the co-host, now the host of Blurry Photos now for a few years. And him and I have been doing Hysteria 51 for about a year now. So lots of fun and just, you know, dick and fart jokes about aliens and the occult and Bigfoot and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's like I've said before, like it's my favorite podcast. I'd listen to it all the time, even when I don't have
things, so that doesn't fucking matter.
Anyways, guys, if you want to get a hold of us, obviously our Facebook group at Project Skeptic, our email is projectskeptic@gmail.com. We're on Twitch on Friday nights at 8 o'clock. We can watch your live stream there. Instagram is Project Skeptic Podcast. And if you can't remember any of that, projectskeptic.com.
And OnlyFans/Project Skeptic for the dieharders out there.
That's where the money's at, man.
It's just,
I'm telling you,
it's just feet pics, big feet pics.
Yeah. All right, Brent. With that, I guess we'll
thank you so much for having me. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on, and it's been a long time coming. Trying to work with you, you know. I know you're busy, so getting you on.
No, love it. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, and look forward to doing it again.
Yeah. Thank you.
Later.
Good night, guys.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. We'll be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a Fourth Hand Joint.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.